It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
That's so dumb.
Felger.
Oh, you idiot.
Nass.
Holy crap.
Felger and Nass.
I hate that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. It's a Tuesday during the football season, so you know what that means, Maz.
Big Boy Tuesday. Here we go. Big Boy Tuesday.
What else?
Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal, who's a good-sized man.
Jumbo.
He's the big boy. He comes in from the Boston Sports Journal again every Tuesday during the football season. We talk Patriots with you, so let's do it. I'm going to start with the game of fill in the blank. You ready, Greg?
Yep.
I'm going to phrase this properly as I gave it to you in our email exchange. All right, question number one, fill in the blank. Anyone who thinks Sony Michel was the key to the Patriots' win on Sunday is?
Delusional and a stats humper.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, yeah, I was going to go simple myself. I was going to say jackass.
Anyone who thinks that Sony Michel was the key to the Patriots' win on Sunday in New York is a stats humper. And delusional. Explain.
Okay. This is all the evidence I really need. How many touchdowns did the Patriots score against the Jets?
Three. See, I even thought it was worse.
On the first two, how many times did Sony Michel touch the ball?
I actually looked at this. Zero.
Zero.
I actually looked at this. None of his runs. His runs led to exactly one touchdown.
Yeah.
His touches.
And the third one, okay, he had the 31-33 yarder to get them to the 47-yard line of the Jets. How many times did he factor into the plays from then on out?
Well, the goal line.
The goal line.
And he even sucks at that still.
So, Sony Michel was the key. How? How?
Because someone won their fantasy league. Or someone watched him at Georgia and is a college football humper.
Or stats humper.
A stat, but in this case, a college football humper. Who just watches college football and wants to be justified in watching college football. So it's, I know that guy from Georgia.
And let's not get it twisted from the get-go. I'm not down on Sony Michel. I'm not saying he didn't have a good game. He had a good game. That was fine. But to make it out to somebody on these airwaves, to make it out.
Who did this?
I don't know. I heard it at some point.
I didn't say he was a complete factor, but he helps. He obviously helps the passing game and setting up a play action, right?
We're not even talking about Murray.
We're not even talking about you, Murray.
Well, I'm guilty because I'm pro-Backist.
Yes. So, Adam Jones.
Again, the aforementioned fantasy nerd and college football fan.
Stats humper.
Yes.
He said Sony
stats
Michel was
humping Adam Jones.
He said Sony Michel was the key to the win.
Direct quote, Sony Michel is the reason the Jets survived the Patriots survived the Jets yesterday. Without him, you probably lose to the Jets.
Okay.
That is completely and utterly false. It's not even close to reality.
And with him, you're humping stats.
Okay, so that's take number one. Do you still think Sony Michel was the key? Was the key to the Patriots' win on Sunday? 617-779-0985. Question number two, fill in the blank. If you think the Pats are out of the woods as it relates to Rob Gronkowski, you are...
Just incorrect.
Well, that's boring. I was expecting something better than
Come
that.
Come on, Naz. How would you want to say
after word? Delusional stats?
Okay, I'll let you take this one since you have such a way with words.
I'll answer it the same way I did the first one. Jackass is how I would say you're a jackass if you think that, or an idiot. He's not, he's still not right. And, you know, this thing has to build forward. 3 out of 7. I mean, they threw him 7 times. They completed 3. Since when is that the Patriots' offense? Like, they're not there yet. Now, was it a step in the right direction, albeit a small one? Sure. Yes. The fact that he caught a touchdown, for crying out loud, I'm ready to do cartwheels over that, for goodness sake. But there was nothing to suggest that he's like the old Gronk who's, you know, beating guys one-on-one on the outside and catching balls over their heads and all that kind of stuff. None of that was there.
Greg, what did you see? What did you write on the site?
I wrote about how they need to, this was further evidence that I think it's going to, this game, since now they have a little bit more data, they had Gronk against Buffalo. That was his last time out. Now they have this game. You know, you could make the case that against Buffalo was an outlier, that they didn't really pay him any extra attention. The Bills treated him like he was any other tight end in the league. And I wrote about that at the time. Could have been an outlier. You come to this game, same thing. And they single coverage with Jamal Adams most of the time, or, you know, whether they were in zone, just nothing really different. And so, you know, to me, that and their struggles inside the red zone, to me, that sounds like Josh McDaniels, Brady, Belichick, they're going to say, okay, we need to revamp what we're doing, because no longer is Gronk the beacon for the red zone offense.
You're saying he's still not getting open. He's just drawing single coverage.
Yes.
Period. He just doesn't move. He doesn't move the same.
No. And, you know, it's not like he's bad. I mean, I would say in this game, I thought he came out the first half, he looked decent, better. I would say the second half, he kind of faded a little bit physically, where there were some routes where I think the last red zone throw to him, you know, he kind of stems his route inside. And most of the time, you know, in the past, you would see Gronk stem that route, get inside of the defensive back, and then all of a sudden pop to the outside and he's open. There's enough room for Brady to throw the ball. It's a touchdown. He can't do that right now. It takes a long time for him to pop back outside. He doesn't have that quickness, power that we've seen in the past. And so they're going to have to figure out a different way to operate in the red zone. They can't just say, okay, Gronk, we're going to go you X ISO, and we're just going to throw it up. If they single cover you, you're the throw. If they double cover, then Brady knows somebody else is open, somebody else has a mismatch. That's not happening anymore. He's one-on-one, but that throw to Gronk, now you're saying what? They're batting probably about what? 30% maybe?
Well, Matt, just what's 3 out of 7?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that those numbers are telling, because Gronk is, you know, that's a throw you're going to make 75% of the time with him, or 70. Okay, and I'm pushing on the high side, given the way the year's gone. But to me, the plays, you know, the touchdown again was, what was the distance, 25 yards, 30 yards? I don't even, 31 yards, whatever it was. But the other plays down by the goal line to me were really revealing. Like, you know, I don't like the fade either. But with Gronk, he catches a lot of them.
So were the fade throws well thrown?
No.
Did Brady give him a chance?
No, they weren't great, but you know what? He can still go get it half the time. You know, catch it off a guy's head or just bull his way to the ball. And, you know, the one later in the game that Gronk tried to kind of circle behind the defender, that ball was, I don't think, was in the same area code. To me, that was a bad throw. But still, Gronk had trouble shaking the guy. So he's not, to me, he's not the same guy yet. I don't know if he will be or not. Maybe they don't need him to be if some of these other things go right.
Look, this is where we are with Gronk. I mean, from the Bills game and this one, his last two games, he's a combined 6 for 15. You know, his catch rate is 40% in the last two games. That's the lowest in consecutive starts that he's ever had. Hmm. He did have it back-to-back games, his first two games in 2013 when he was coming back from back surgery. Week 7 and 8. He has a career catch rate of almost 66%. He's now at 40 in his past two games. And in those past two games, the Patriots have been 1 of 3 in each game in the red zone. Those are season lows. And so something's got to change. They need to, these bigger games, the Vikings, the Steelers, the postseason, they're going to need to be sharper, and they're going to need to be around 70-75% in the red zone.
So how do they do
Gronk's
it?
Gronk's just not the way to do it.
How do they do it?
I think, well, number one, I think ideally you'd like to run the ball a little bit more in the red zone, but they don't really have that guy.
Michelle's not a good short yardage runner.
No.
Not yet, or will he ever be?
Is there could be.
Is there something that prevents him from being that?
No, I just...
He doesn't feel that big to me.
He has great lower body strength. I think that's why when you look at him, you're like, you know, because that's the difference between like him and a Philip Lindsay, who in Denver, undrafted, you know, 10 yards a carry against the Steelers on Sunday. I mean, that guy's undrafted, but he can scoot. Michelle has those types of quicks, plus he has the really thick lower body. So you just say, to yourself, this guy is built long term. It reminds me when the Dolphins, when I covered them, they drafted Ronnie Brown, I think second, because Alex Smith went first. They drafted Ronnie Brown instead of Cadillac Williams, his teammate at Auburn, went to Tampa, was a better rookie, but Cadillac had skinnier legs. He just not built for the long. You knew Ronnie Brown was going to be in the league for 10 years, just the way he's built. Sony Michel looks that way, too.
So every time someone says he's, I keep reading and hearing this, Greg, and you're just the trigger, so don't take it personally.
Yeah.
That Sony Michel's got this great lower body strength. Every time I read and hear that, you know what it tells me? That he's not strong up top. Like,
well, but that's fine. He's a rookie.
Is it?
Yes. As a rookie, none of these guys, I don't care what position you play, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, none of these guys coming out of college are ready for the pros for a full pro season in the upper body. Now, I want to see Sony Michel. This has been a good rookie season for him, you know, to this point. He's continued to build and build. That's what you want to see. Now, I want him to see him go into the offseason, get stronger in the upper body, you know, get a little bit better in his decision making, and then, you know, maybe they're cooking with gas there.
But if you think that Sony Michel was the key to the win on Sunday versus the Jets, you are what? Fill in the blank, please.
Delusional and a stats humper.
I would just confine that and say delusional stats humper. You are okay. A delusional stats humper.
You can
humper.
Go with that.
Yeah. In fact, I think that should now be a term, Greg. I think you've created a term. You are a stats humper.
You either, I would answer that by saying you either have some preconceived bias because you're A, fantasy player, B, a college football fan, C, a former offensive lineman, so you want to think that your job is valuable and you control the running game, and the big fatties like to get out and run blocks, so an offensive lineman will always love talk them. About the importance of a running game, right? So either you're one of those guys with a preconceived bias, fantasy player, college football fan, former offensive lineman, or you just don't know the game. Or you just don't know the game.
Well, look, I'll readily admit that I have a bias when it comes to the running game, that I think the offensive line should get more credit in the whole blocking apparatus. And the way the Patriots are going right now, it's there to me. And part of this evidence is look at what James White did in this game and what he's done all season. I mean, James White had a 30-plus yard run. Was that a great run?
On Sunday, guess who?
I didn't think so.
On Sunday, Sony Michel averaged how many yards per carry?
Six.
And how many did James White average?
Eight.
So, I don't know. Does it maybe tell you that the yards are there? The yards are there, no matter who's carrying the stupid football.
That's the thing. I mean, if Sony Michel had a five-yard average and everybody else was at three, you could go nuts and say, he's the difference, they need him. Everybody's pretty much run the ball the same in this backfield.
What did you say that was again? 6 yards per carry for Michelle and 8 for White?
That's right.
Yeah. Why don't you go and hump that stat?
Okay. Football with Bedard, 617-779-0985. We'll do football for the next 2 hours, get to Celtics and Bruins coming up at 4. I got another giveaway today. Rolling Stones tickets today?
Got multiple giveaways today.
Multiples.
Yeah, I want this.
Does it include a back page backstage pass to do blow with Keith Richards?
Well, I'm going to have to look at my sheet. It might. So let me just check on that. Details on how you can win all this free stuff, including Stones tickets with your calls with Bedard right after this.
Stats Humper.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Max.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Gronkowski's had only two targets this season in the red zone. Only one target inside the 10-yard line entering play today. And Hogan back in the lineup. Third and goal to go from the 9. 8:44 to go in the third. Pats will disperse with Gordon and White. Deflects to the right, short side of the field. Gronkowski stands up left with Edelman in the slot and Hogan on the outside. Now White motions into the backfield to attach to Brady's right hip. The quarterback takes the snap, shuffles back 3 steps, moves forward, looking for an open receiver. Throws it to the end zone left for Gronkowski. Too far as he dives, laying out, unable to make the play. Darren Lee and Buster Screen recovering for the Jets.
It's a killer right there.
Gostkowski gave the Patriots a late first half lead with a 34-yard field goal.
No chance.
So that one there, I thought was Brady's fault. I thought Gronk was open on that. And it was sort of a broken play. I think you put it up on site there, Greg, too. What the design? I don't think that was designed to go there originally.
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't.
That was when Brady overthrew him on the left side there on the third. I think it was the third quarter going right to left. I thought that was on Brady. So whether it's Gronkowski or Brady, only one target inside the 10. You heard Soucy say it right there. And I thought whether it was inside the 10 or technically in the red zone or not, they forced it to Brady in this game, forcing it to Gronkowski in this game. And it wasn't close. It wasn't. Brady missed on that one. He should have thrown an interception. Gronkowski bailed him out on another one. And then there was a third fade down there that weren't even, it's not even close. Whether it's Brady or Gronkowski, it's still not the same deal.
I think it's a mix because I think Brady is getting used to the new Gronk. You know, he thinks he's putting balls in places that Gronk can make a play on the ball. And I just think he's not capable at this time of doing that. So there are some issues. On that play that you played the audio from, you know, Gronk blocked at first and then released. But we've seen, you know, he didn't get down the field very athletically. I mean, he could have in the past.
So that was
he would have
point.
Exploded. He would have exploded down the field and he would have had a step and a half, and they probably make a touchdown there. But he's just not capable of doing that right now.
It's taken him forever to get there.
Yeah.
It is. For him, it's taken him forever.
All right, we start with your thoughts and football with Bedard here. Tom in Newton on Sony Michel. Your thoughts, Tom.
Hey, guys. I got two quick points on the Patriots. The first one, I don't know how many more of these 3rd-and-4, 3rd-and-5 situations I can watch when they only need a few yards to, you know, pick up the first down and Brady's heaving the ball down the field. It worked with, you know, Gronk on a play this week, but I don't know why overall Josh McDaniels feels like he has to do that. Second thing on Sony Michel, I think the guy's overrated. I know he ran for all these yards on Sunday, set a record, whatever. You could drive a bus through the lane that he had on some of those plays. Anytime where it's tight, anytime where he has to make a move like Deion Lewis, he runs into Shaq Mason's ass and falls down.
Well, it's in those tight spaces. I think you see, you know, I don't see anything in those short yardage situations. On the long runs, he's got a nice burst.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's feels like a nice player. I don't know if he's special. But he's gaining the yards that are there. But it ain't about him.
One of those big runs in this game, he did a nice job reading the blocks, where it was this run was not as defined as some of his other runs, you know, where he, you know, flowed and behind the fullback, or whatever. This time the fullback, Devlin, went to the right. He saw it opening up to the left, and that was a nice run. But I mean, you know, look, we could go through it and just look at his stats when Devlin's on the field and when Devlin's not on the field. I mean, it would be pretty night and day.
We've got Jack in Florida. Hi, Jack.
Hey, how you doing, Felger? Listen, two things. One, I agree with your, you know, Sony Michel's not the key to the win Sunday. And the other thing is what I wanted to touch base on, what you guys talked yesterday about, you know, the running game opening up the offense. And I'm just curious to your thoughts on whether the emphasis on the running game is to more keep our defense off the field that can't stop anybody. And I'll sit back and listen.
Okay, sure. I mean, I think that's always a benefit to the running game is clock control. I don't think you need to run the ball to control the clock. I think Brady is, and the Pats have proven that over the years as well. They can control the clock with the short passing game. But of course.
Even this year, though?
This year, maybe not as much. Fair point. Yeah, maybe it's more important this year. You know, I mean, I'm not going to fight you on the importance of having a balanced attack. I mean, the more things you can do, the better. Of course, if you can run the ball, great. And if you can run the ball on third and two versus passing it on third and two, I'm not an idiot. You run the ball. Like, fine. I'm just, if you think that's what's going to lead the charge here, then I think you're sorely mistaken. I said this yesterday, Greg. If you're relying, if the running game is now the key for the Patriots, meaning the run sets up everything else, you're porked. It's over. It means you don't have a good offense. I mean, what great offense in the league has a running game that sets up the passing game? It's all just the opposite. And the only one you could throw at me is the Rams, but I would contend the Rams didn't become explosive till the coach came in and straightened out the quarterback. And now Gurley and that thing is a compliment to the passing game and what they do through the air in Los Angeles.
Well, and look at all the changes they've made there in the last couple of years. They brought in one receiver after the next.
It's a passing offense.
Totally. It's been all about the passing game there.
I don't disagree with your overall point. I just think that, look, when the Patriots decide they want to run the ball, like when they have a capable NFL caliber back at their disposal, which at times, I guess they didn't think Kenyon Barner was one, and they decided they didn't need one, which is fine. It worked out for them. You know, they can run the ball when they are committed to it, when they want to. And normally when they are committed to it, it doesn't have much, it doesn't say as much about them. It says more about the defense and what their approach they think is going to be effective in that game.
I still worry about them in short yardage, though. I don't know. Maybe Burkhead can give them some of that if he gets back out there.
We've got John in Fall River. How do you feel about the Rob Gronkowski situation, John?
Gentlemen, great show. Real quick, I just wanted to know if anybody thinks that there's a correlation between all the guys from TB12 training together. One of them gets popped in camp, and now the other two have diminished play. If anybody's ever going to connect the dots on this, I mean, Gronk came into camp saying he was feeling 100%. His buddy gets popped for PEDs, and now he's rumbling down the field like the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz.
Well, you know, I wouldn't rule anything out when it comes to this stuff.
I completely disagree with that.
Why?
There's no the correlation is they're all old, all right? Whether it's Edelman, Gronk, Brady, Amendola, whatever. They're all old. This is what happens, you know?
You know what old guys need, just, Greg?
Yeah. What?
You know what old guys need?
What?
Medication.
You know, see, this is what happens when the guy gets popped. It opens up any sort of speculation. I'm not going to tell you it's unfair speculation. Who knows? I'm not in there. I'm not in the training room.
It's unfair. I mean, if there was some 25-year-old grouped in here and all of a sudden he fell off, then you could say that.
I don't think it's unfair. To speculate whether pro athletes are on PEDs or not? Are you kidding me?
No. I'm just saying.
I'm like, what am I, a child? Do the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus? Are these things? Like,
No. You know, don't confuse what I'm saying.
I'm an adult.
My comment was not about whether or not players use PEDs. My comment was about how you can't just group these three Patriots players together and say, "Well, look, there's something going on at TB12. They're just old." Okay.
Okay.
Maybe they've all taken beatings for years.
Okay.
That's the correlation.
Right. They yelled at the caller, not at me.
I'm yelling at you.
I didn't say anything. Something caught in my throat. Uh-huh. Tom in Salem, what do you got for us on Rob Gronkowski?
Hi, you guys. How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. Great show, as always. About the Gronk situation, you know, I'm not worried about Gronk being the old Gronk as much as I am worried about Gronk being healthy. I still think he's one of the best pass-blocking tight ends and also a darn good run-blocking tight end. So I think we need to just be able to spread the ball around. You can't keep looking at Gronk. There's plenty of other guys that they can use. Another thought is Rex Burkhead coming back. I think he might help a little bit in the red.
Okay, Tom, I have to stop you there. Rex Burkhead, to me, has to get more than two carries without going back on the shelf before I spend any time on the guy. All right? Exactly. I got no time for this. If you play in or out there for a couple weeks and establish yourself in the offense, then I'll talk about you. Other than that, please, the guy can't sneeze without going back on the shelf. So how do you have any clue what Rex Burkhead is now, 2 years later, after he's been on the shelf more than he's been on the field? But in terms of spreading the ball and looking around the field, the Pats of field did a much better job of that in this game, certainly than in Tennessee or in some of the previous games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, did Brady miss some open guys? Yeah. And I think there's a...
In this Jets game, you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Including, Hogan. That pass that he went late to Gronkowski, that third down, early third down.
Oh, yeah, the first
he
one?
He had Hogan open early over the middle, didn't see him. Then he threw late. This game was still clunky with the passing, but I thought it was better. It was a step forward, but Brady was still late on stuff. I thought the worst red zone drive was when he went to James White twice
on passes that weren't
even close, and then there was that Gronk play that wasn't even close. That was just ugly. Now, I understand, okay, we're going to move people around. James White is one-on-one with a linebacker. I got it. Well, that linebacker was pretty athletic, and he was right there. I mean, that was not a good red zone
okay. drive. More Bedard thoughts on the game with Maz's chimes in as well as we go three up and three down right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's time for 3-Up.
He throws it left for Glock. He makes the catch over two defenders.
And 3-Down.
A poor throw intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. 3-Up.
Launch downfield, throw into the end zone. With Smith there, a row as well. That pass is going to be intercepted by Gilmore.
3-Down.
Absolute blown coverage right here. Poor tackling on the outside.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, 3-Up, 3-Down, a staple here with the big boy, Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. If you're watching on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, where we beam across New England and the country on a daily basis, I'm holding his clipboard.
You ready, Greg?
He actually has a clipboard. I don't know if you can. You probably can. I don't know if you can zoom in on that, but holy moly.
Leave my hieroglyphics alone.
Yeah. Seriously.
And he's the one calling people stats humpers.
What? Yeah, right. Who's the stats humper?
Those are observations. Oh, stats.
Moly.
Stats humper.
So what happened to the charts you used to do with quarterback pressures and total hurries and total run stops?
I do those on the site.
Why don't you give them to us anymore?
Sometimes when they're done, they're not done yet.
So you've been slacking.
All right, three up, three down.
You know, he's getting proprietary on you. That's what he's doing.
All right, three up, three down. The three studs, three duds from the Patriots win over the Jets. Who's your number one star, Greg?
Trey Flowers. He was dominant. He had a total of 9 impactful plays. Sack, 4 knockdowns, 3 hurries. He was awesome.
Impactful plays.
Impactful plays,
We got John Farrell on the show today, in case you're wondering. I went Josh Gordon. I thought Gordon was terrific in this game. I told you this. They only targeted him 5 times. They completed all 5. 3 of them were first downs. One of them that wasn't a first down was a little 1-yard shallow cross at the end of the game when the game was over, but he caught it. And the other one was a 1st-and-18 play in which he got 16 yards. He caught the ball in the middle of the field. He caught the ball on the sidelines. There were no stupid throws down the field, which speaks to the offense. And on one of those plays, if you remember, the ball was deflected at the line of scrimmage, and Gordon kind of reached back in stride, made the play. He was good in this game.
Okay.
I'm going all defense, by the way. Nobody's talking about the defense. The defense was good in this game. Largely after the first quarter, was really good in this game.
You know why no one's talking about the defense, Greg? Because the Jets suck. That's why.
Number two star, Greggy.
Lawrence Guy.
Oh, you love you love Lawrence Guy.
He's been great this season. You know, you put your top 5 like MVPs of the Patriots this season, or you know, best players. Lawrence Guy's definitely on the list.
Definitely.
Well, yes. I mean, he's on my list, Mike. No, he's question. Not on yours.
I focus.
7 impactful plays.
7 impactful.
Yeah, Lawrence, just a guy.
How many did you have him for, Maz?
I didn't have him for any. There was one on the first play of the game when he made the play. That's the only one I remember.
7 impactful plays, Greg. I don't mean to steal your thunder. Just go.
Oh, yeah. And he did it. He brought some pass rush for a change. But I will say something people haven't talked about. The Patriots brought a lot of pressure in this game. They blitzed like 14 times, which is, I don't even remember the last time they did that, including they went all out blitzes 4 times. And a lot of that freed up easy pressure for some of the guys. But still, it was a change. And don't start with the, yeah, Flores is making a difference there, getting after. No, this is just because the Jets suck and they wanted McCown to throw the ball early.
Exactly. It was how many pressures did you say total? What you said? If I didn't know any better, I'd call you a stats humper.
Stats humper. Right?
That's what I would say. I went Patrick Chung 2nd. I thought Chung was terrific in this game. Yeah, he came up and made a ton of tackles and run support, really. I thought it might have been his best game of the year. I thought he was awesome.
3rd star, Greg.
Kyle Van Noy. He was great on the edge, pass rush, run defense. Really good.
Sony Michel.
Oh, jeez.
I thought he was good. He was good. He wasn't number 1 or number 2 good.
It just proves our fairness.
But he was number 3 good. Sony Michel had a good game on Sunday. He was good.
Just proves that Felger and Maz cannot help but just tell the truth.
I am a slave to the truth.
The facts. We can't help ourselves. No matter how much we want to feed our agenda, we just can't help ourselves but tell you what actually happened like it is. 3 duds. Who are the 3 down? Number 1 dud for the Patriots.
The Nutcracker. Cordarrelle Patterson.
Beautiful. He sucked in this game.
Oh, man. He was a complete disaster all over the place. I mean, whether it was, you know, trying to leap tall buildings in a single bound or running into a pulling guard that led to a Sony Michel, like, run stuff. I mean, it was clunky.
I went Jonathan Jones. I thought Jones sucked. He had a tough time back there. He was getting beat. I mean, it wasn't a ton. Again, it was the Jets. It's not like the Jets' offense was threatening, but in the times that I saw him on the field, every time I noticed him, he was doing something wrong.
2nd dud.
Dietrich Wise, Mr. Terrible Personal Foul. And then Adam Butler goes out, who was spying McCown. Wise comes in, gets that duty, and what does he do? He comes up the field, and McCown runs for a first down on 3rd down because of Wise. It was just, yes, he had the sack, he had a couple other plays, but that stuff can't go on anymore with him.
Did you pick, other than Patterson, did you pick all defensive guys?
Yes.
Interesting. I went Dante Hightower. Again, invisible. Invisible. I barely remember seeing him on the field. Like, does he make plays anymore? Does he tackle anybody?
You're so right, though. You don't notice him.
He's invisible, completely invisible.
3rd dud.
Hightower. I didn't have many candidates for this. Like, I was – Jason McCourty had some problematic plays, but he also had some good ones. But Hightower, this is going to become an issue against the better teams and in the postseason. Like, you saw the Jets, when they come in with their heavy personnel with 2 tight ends, Hightower's got to stay on the field. Because that's a running personnel grouping. But when they pass, it's trouble. And so a lot of teams look for teams to start to exploit that more often.
It pains me to do this because I think this guy's a great pro and he's had a good career. But Matthew Slater, their kick coverage still sucks. It's and somebody's got to take the fall. I don't remember Slater making a play all year.
Talk about another guy who is physically not close to his former self.
I mean, what's going on there? They gave up like a 35-yard return on one of those plays, or 32-yard return, and they rank last in the league in kick coverage. And, you know, he's the guy that always makes it. Where is he?
Is he a TB12 guy?
I don't know.
I'm just curious. I was just asking. I don't know. Is he?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
I would lean yes.
What a coincidence. He's also really old for a football player.
Okay. I was just checking. Those are three up and you're three down. We've got Rolling Stones tickets to give away at 4:50.
Yeah, I want the Stones tickets.
Stop me up, Felga. Stop me up. Yeah.
4:50 for Rolling Stones tickets, okay? So stay tuned for that.
I don't win them. You're going to make a grown man cry.
Coming up next hour, I will have free wrestling tickets.
Yeah, wild horses couldn't keep me from winning these tickets.
You'll have to drag me away, kid.
You can't always get what you want.
Also, listen, it's Giving Tuesday, and 98.5 The Sports Hub is supporting Project Bread. 1 in 7 children in Massachusetts don't have enough to eat. So every $50 donated provides up to 100 healthy meals for children in need. Help us make a difference for kids across the state, folks. Every dollar counts. So go to Murray. Anytime I actually have to be a broadcaster, it's a total disaster. Go to projectbread.org/givingTuesday. All right? projectbread.org/givingTuesday. Back with your phones, and we'll check in on Brady's health right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I know you want to be on the field and you don't want to hurt your team, but is your performance impaired because of the injury? In other words, if you throw a ball 5 or 10 yards short, or if you can't avoid the pressure, does it affect your play?
I mean, I think naturally you would say yes, just because, you know, anytime you're less than 100%, you know, you'd always, that's just the nature of it. You'd love to always be 100%. The reality is that's rarely the case. I mean, you may be a little less than that. Maybe you're 98%. Maybe you're 70%. And if you're 70%, you know, it's absolutely, there's certain things that can bother you a little bit. If you're, you know, just a little less than 100%, probably not. But, you know, that's, again, it's just, as a veteran player, I've been dealing with a lot of things over the course of a long career, and I'm pretty in tune with my body. I work pretty hard at it. You know, I know what I can and can't do, and sometimes you have to adjust a little bit. I think there's a few things I had to adjust yesterday, but I'm glad we came out of it with a win, and I'm excited to get back out there and go again next week.
Tom Brady on with Jim Gray there last night. How does Tom Brady look to you, Greg?
About the same.
Meaning same as what?
I would say for him, he's continues to be average, maybe a little bit better in this game.
So
for him.
You're saying same as he's looked this year, which is, for by his standards, middling.
Yes.
Okay, explain.
Well, I mean, I just think he's still not seeing the field like he normally does, and I don't understand why that is. You know, you hope that it will get incrementally better as the people around him get healthy, get acclimated to the offense, all that stuff. I think a lot of it is, I just think the Patriots don't know what this continues to be. It's been talked about, their identity. I just don't think they know, all right, you know, what's our bread and butter? What are we doing here? I mean, you would see years where they would keep running the same plays over and over again in games, and you don't really see that. It's just offensively, they just seem still extremely disjointed. And
so how much of it is that Brady? Because you said a while ago, you know, that's a situation. It looks disjointed. You don't know how much is Brady, how much is what's surrounding him, what, you know, da-da-da. Have you been able to narrow that down at all?
No. I mean, you know, as the season goes along and some of these guys like Gordon get more settled in the offense, even though even that great third down catch that he had, that route wasn't great. Like, he came out of it, like, not expecting to get the ball.
Well, he was like the third option, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. But, I mean, you know, he needs to learn that in this Patriots offense, you need to run every single route like you're expecting to get the ball. You know, even if it's designed to go to the other side of the field, because Brady's going to throw it to you. You know, so he needs to get a little bit better at that. You know, I just, as far as Brady goes, my big thing is I've always been immensely impressed. The thing that stood out the most from watching him over the years is just he always chooses right. Always. This season, it's more like 50, 60% of the time. And I don't know. I know you probably want me to say it's Brady. As the season goes along, the longer this becomes an issue,
I want to
say it's Brady's gaining more and more of the part of that pie.
I don't want you to say anything you don't believe, though.
Yeah, sure.
I don't.
See, I put some stock, too, in this whole idea that Brady's arm strength has diminished some. I think
no. No.
Oh, yeah, I don't believe it's arm strength either.
Oh, I think that's a little of it. I mean, that ball that he threw to Gordon, watch it again. I know the ball was supposed to be down and away, but watch it. That ball is not a great ball. It's not.
I still think when he sets his feet and gets on top of the ball and drives it, it's the same. And I thought he did that more in this game than he has in a while. Mm-hmm. And I felt better about his whole mechanics in this game. I thought he was stronger in the pocket and delivered the textbook form that he has. I saw that more often.
Well, that third down red zone sequence that we were talking about, the two incompletions, the White, and then the Gronk. Go back and watch those plays. What I don't understand is, yes, I understand White has the linebacker. And you're like, all right, 98% of the time, James White on a linebacker. Okay. But Brady gets rid of the ball so quickly on those plays. And he looks panicked. Like, he doesn't want to get hit. And I think somebody had some pictures that we saw in the email chain.
Yes, Brady's bruised knee.
Yeah, it's pretty bruised. And, you know, did Brady just sound like a guy who was sick? Or did he sound like he was sick to you?
But not really.
I don't know.
So what are you saying?
I'm just saying that. I think that was weird.
Yeah, spit that out.
I think the knee is what the issue is.
Okay.
Yes.
What was his excuse in the Tennessee game?
Team suckiness.
Okay. See, I just...
General suckiness.
Look, the knee thing, I guess the knee thing is he clearly wants everybody to know about it now. Like, he's got his knee exposed on the sideline. He's talking about it. He didn't like that throwback pass. He didn't like that.
So Ben did this out at NBC Sports Boston. You're seeing the picture.
Good job, Ben.
You will be seeing the picture here in a second.
It's pretty good bruise.
Of that bruised knee. Okay. But it was the left knee that got hit on that double pass in Tennessee, right? Like, that's the one they were worried about, I thought.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so the left one got hurt on the double pass. The right one got knocked somehow, somewhere. And Ben also sent us, and we can't run it because it's a video. But watch Brady on the last kneel down of the game and how slow he is getting up from the kneel down. And that's what Ben pointed out there at NBC Sports Boston. Another indication that the knee's hurt. Look at how slow he is getting up from this kneel down.
Or that he's just a regular 41-year-old man, too, that's starting to feel what it feels like getting up from that position.
I felt a whole different thing. I felt it was so obvious that I said to myself, okay, Tommy, we notice. We got it. Your knee's banged up. We got it. Got it. You don't need to... I felt I was watching a Celtic or something. Like, I just felt there was a little bit of a... little bit of a drama there, like, oh, like, I'm going to take this last knee and, oh, yeah. Bill tried to kill me last week, but I'm still playing.
No, he didn't like having to go out for that pass, I'm telling you.
I'm just telling it was like, Tom, you're fine. You can get up from the knee. You've just played 60 minutes of football and taken hits left, right, and center, and you can get up from that kneel down, but I felt it was like, was that an indication of he was hurt, or is that an indication of he wants us to know? And this Jim Gray interview, that was just one cut. We'll play another coming up. They must have spent 5 minutes on his effing health, which usually they're not allowed to talk about. And Brady will play along at least to say, I'm good enough to play. No one's 100% at this time of year. Next question.
Well, maybe Scratchy was just a concerned friend is all, Mike.
Damn.
As we know, the Scratchy's not asking questions that aren't, you know, approved by Team Brady, and they're not going places. That's not an interview. That is a
it's
production.
Like state radio is what it is.
Yes, it's a production. They are in cahoots. This is not one guy, you know, asking questions of another. It's two guys with a performance, if you will, almost. So Brady was more than happy to talk about his health in this interview last night. On and on and on, in fact.
He didn't like going out for that pass. He didn't like it. That's what that's about. He's letting the world know, don't send me out for that dumbass pass.
And this cut that you're going to hear coming up when we come out of the next break is Brady's talking about choosing to play, which is very odd. He puts it in a way that's just sort of like, what do you mean? He says, I'm glad I chose to play. Like, we're back. This reminded me of what Bedard said to us last week with that Gronkowski been playing the last couple of weeks or not playing. It's been a choice by him. So what, like, this is another weird little thing with the, it's just another, you know, undercurrent on this team. It's like, what do you mean you chose to play?
So I have a theory on that. I'll hold on.
Okay, so why don't we hear the sound? Murray's going to give you a 90-second update. No commercials. You hear the sound. We'll give you our thoughts. And then your phones, I promise, don't go anywhere.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling.com. Helplinema.org.